Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Journey of Faith. Thanks for being here with us this morning, choosing to spend your time with us here at church. Why don't we stand up on our feet? We're going to sing some songs of worship together this morning. We're going to continue to sing a couple of songs together. The Bible tells us those truths that we are pursued by God, that He loves us. It also tells us that we can put our full trust in Him. Be completely abandoned, submission to the will of God. We're going to sing about that now. We'll sing together, blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He's been my footman in the fire time after time. All of His Spirit washed in His blood. And what He did for me
God, we praise you this morning. Oh, we praise you for the power that is within your name, God. And I pray that we are able to access that authority that you give us as sons and daughters. God, that you are able to help us live our lives, relinquish the things that are getting in the way of the will that you have for our lives, God, and surrender them to you this morning. It's in your mighty name we pray today. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us. It's so great to be able to worship together, use our voices together to glorify God. Before you take a seat, though, why don't you turn around to somebody next to you? You might meet somebody new this morning. Say hello.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be with you here this morning. My name is Jill, and I'm the Manhattan Beach Campus pastor here at the church. I woke up really thankful for two things this morning. The first was an extra hour of sleep. The second was double plays. Yeah. If you don't know, we can thank the Dodgers for the extra hour of sleep we all got. Took an extra hour to fall asleep because I was just reliving all of those moments. My 8-year-old said, every single inch of my brain is still thinking about the Dodgers. And I said, I know, baby girl, I know. So what a great victory. Thanks for celebrating that with us this morning. If you're new with us here at Journey of Faith or you want to find out more about our church, we would love to help you get connected here. The simplest way for us to do that is when you fill out the Connect form. So there's a couple of ways to access it. The first is right here, journeyoffaith.com/connect. The second is that there are QR codes kind of scattered throughout this room. If you scan that with your phone, you'll be taken to that online form. Or just after the service, you can step out here into our lobby where someone from our team, we have an amazing team of staff and volunteers who can answer your questions, help you fill out that form, and they have a small gift that they'd like to give you for visiting us today. Every week, we like to say thank you to those of you who partner with us financially here in the South Bay. We believe that God has called us to do some really tremendous things. We are seeing the way lives are being changed through ministry here at Journey of Faith, and none of it would be possible without your faithful giving. So there's a couple of ways to give. Most people give online by going to journeyoffaith.com/give. We also have some giving boxes that are in the back of this room, as well as out in the lobby. You can drop that in there on your way out, and it'll be safe for the rest of the morning. I have two quick announcements today before we move into child dedication. The first is about surviving the holidays. The holiday season is a really wonderful time, but we also know that there might be some of us who are going to experience the holidays a little differently this year. If you've gone through separation or divorce, or maybe you've lost a loved one this year, you might have some complex feelings going into the holidays, and that's why we have this great ministry. It's going to be November 13th at 6:30 right here at our Manhattan Beach campus. This event is hosted by our leaders who do grief share and divorce care, and really it's to equip you, give you a community, and give you some encouragement as we go into the holidays. So you can sign up for that at journeyoffaith.com/STH. The next one is that we're going to have a senior luncheon on Friday, November 14th, right here at our Manhattan Beach campus. There'll be some really good food, some entertainment, and a chance just to get to know some of the other senior adults here at our church. So you can sign up at journeyoffaith.com/senior luncheon. You can also stop by the Connect area and they can help you get signed up for that. It's going to be a really wonderful time. So please invite a senior adult in your life who might be looking for some new friendship and community to our senior luncheon. You're hearing really adorable little noises because today is child dedication. And now child dedication is a significant milestone for the families here at our church. A part of child dedication is that our families, oh, hi, Miss Claudia. Our families here at the church are coming before you and before God, and they're saying, thank you, God, for this wonderful gift. Thank you for entrusting us with these children. And they're also making a promise to make faith the most important part of their life. They're promising to make faith a priority in their home so that their kids might also encounter God and choose to follow him with their life. So it's a really special day, and here's what it's going to look like. In just a few moments, we'll invite our families to join us on stage, and then you'll get to hear them verbally promise to God their desire desire to parent their children in a spiritual way. And then we'll ask that you also make a promise to them. They'll need prayer. They'll need support and encouragement. And as their faith community, we can provide that to them. So you'll have a promise that sounds like we do. You'll know when to say it. And then after that, we'll move into a time of prayer. Now, each of our families will have a staff person or pastor, an elder with them that will be praying specifically for that family. And we ask that you be praying generally during that time for the families. I'll close us in one big prayer together, and then that will be the end of our child dedication time. We hope that you really enjoy it. So before we get started, we wanted our families to tell you why this is such an important day to them. So let's watch this together.
We're going to be dedicating Weston as a demonstration of our commitment to raising him in a Christ-centered home. And within that, asking our church community here to come alongside us and help ensure that we are guiding our children in the best way possible.
As we're raising the girls, we're really wanting to dedicate and focus on bringing religion into our family and having it be at the center of our home. So,
and then, you know, as our kids grow up, you know, having Christ being able to work through our family and through our kids as they get older, it's, I think it's important.
We are dedicating JJ today because we want him to know that he is so loved by Jesus. We want him to have a relationship with his creator and live in the peace of that joy.
We wanted to dedicate our children to Journey of Faith.
Just to know Jesus a little bit more, to demonstrate that in our family better, get closer to the church community.
Sweet.
Have more grace, humility, and unconditional love.
We're here today to dedicate our 5 children to the Lord.
We really want our kids to have their identity in Christ, and we want them to know that they're loved unconditionally, maximum amount, no matter what they do.
We want Sophie to know God's love, and we want God to just be a central part of her life and her childhood.
God is here with us. Our Heavenly Father is here with us, and he's watching over us and protecting us and guiding us. And it's really important for Tatum especially, who didn't get to meet Daddy because he was born 3 weeks after Daddy passed, for him to have that really strong relationship
for
with the
him,
Lord.
I'm going to grow into him and I'll see Dad.
That's right.
One day you will up above.
That's right.
You guys, you made it today. We're so proud of you. And when I get to chat with each of you and when I get to see this video, it's so clear that what you want most for your families and for your children is that they would have vibrant faith. So thank you so much for taking this step today to making this commitment. And so now we'll move into the time of dedication. Next slide. There we go. Parents, will you make faith in God a priority in your life and in your home? Will you model before your children a wonderful love for him that they will also want for themselves? By coming forward before God and his people, mom and dad, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your children to the Lord? If so, please respond by saying, "We do." So that your children may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers, do you parents vow by God's help in partnership with the church to provide your children a Christian home of unconditional love and peace? Do you vow to raise them in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline and to encourage them to one day trust Jesus Christ and Savior as Savior and Lord? If so, please respond by saying, "We do." Now, modeling this kind of love cannot be done alone. It requires the help of others. Parents have the first responsibility, and they know that, but they're going to need the help of their spiritual family. So I ask now that you make the following commitment to those who stand before you. Do you commit to helping these parents be faithful to God as they teach and train their sons and daughters in the ways of the Lord? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, "We do." Now let's pray together. You can be praying for these families on stage. Dear Jesus, we thank you for these beautiful families. We thank you for the faith of these parents. We thank you for the faith of their parents. God, we pray that as these parents are boldly taking this faith of promising you their desire to raise their children in a home where you are at the center of it, where they understand faith because they see it lived out every day by mom and dad and aunts and uncles and grandparents and friends and family and a vibrant faith community like Journey of Faith. God, we ask for the day that each of these children put their faith in you, equip their parents to trust you and to talk about you and to model you and to show them how you truly have changed their lives. God, we dedicate these children and these families to you today, trusting that you are in control of everything. We love you. We are honored to be your sons and daughters. In your name I pray, amen. Would you guys give these families one more round of applause today as you guys kind of come down here? Thank you so much. You can head on out. That's awesome. Great job. Five kids matching outfits. Can you believe it? That's amazing.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us today, just joining us, we're so glad that you're with us. Thanks for being with us today. We're a multi-campus church, which means we meet in two locations. So right now, I want to say hi to everybody at our Torrance campus. Great that we can be connected this way, as well as everybody that's watching online right now. We are in the final message of a series that we're doing called Be Loved. And the idea is, how would our lives change if we really understood and lived from the love of God in our lives? How would that change how we see ourselves and how we relate to other people and how we relate to God? And so to kind of unpack that idea, we're looking at a letter from the New Testament that's all about that. The letter we're looking at is called 1 John. It's called this because it's one of three letters written by John, one of Jesus's original 12 disciples. And what was happening in the day that this was written back in the first century is there was a lot of teaching about Jesus going around that just wasn't true. And it was causing people to be very confused about who Jesus was and what Jesus came to do and how we should relate to each other. And so John writes a letter to churches in the area, and he's basically saying, look, I spent 3 years, day and night, with Jesus. I know what he taught. I knew who he was. Let me clarify this, and let me clarify how important the love of Jesus is. And as he's writing, he's kind of communicating that as we embrace God's love, it does change our lives, but that change is not always easy. There are going to be marks of growth, some growing pains that we have to go through. And I was thinking about, it made me think about when I was a teenager, and it was summer, one summer, and I went out, I put on some shorts to go out and play, and I saw what looked like some scratch marks on my leg. And I asked my mom, what is this? And she was like, those are stretch marks. She said, you are growing faster than your skin can adapt. And I was like, that's cool. That's really cool, you know? And I was telling my friends, look, man, I got stretch marks on me, you know? And you know, you get that, like if you get stretch marks, like maybe you're on a new exercise thing, you're gaining muscle very quickly or gaining weight really quickly. My mom identified it because of pregnancy, right? Pregnancy brings stretch marks. And they are signs of growth. There is a story. Stretch marks show that there's a story. And ladies, I actually think stretch marks are beautiful, okay? And I'll even go further, and I'll... Hold on, I'm sorry. Okay, all right. HR told me to stop talking about ladies' stretch marks. That's you're welcome. The point is, growth should be visible. Not just to you, but visible to other people. And as we welcome God's love into our lives, people should see that we are growing. So here's the main idea I want to share with you today. We can show the marks of growth of God's love in our lives. So I want to share with you three things that John points out in this letter that are the marks, the visible signs to us and to other people that we are growing in God's love. And then I'm going to give you kind of one action step at the end that we can take away and work on. Here's the first sign that we're growing in God's love. We disagree more thoughtfully. We disagree more thoughtfully. Look what John says here. He says, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is straight from Jesus' teaching. John's just repeating something that Jesus told him. And that is, look, when I'm gone, people are gonna say, here's what Jesus taught, here's what he meant, and they're gonna be wrong. And there's a lot of ideas out there that are like, oh, here's what Jesus said, here's what he meant, and it's just not true. It's either against the teachings of Jesus, or it's in place of the teachings of Jesus. And John has a word for this. He calls it antichrist. In Greek, that word anti means either against or in place of. And what John's saying is, if somebody disagrees with Jesus, call him an antichrist. No, that's not what he's saying. In fact, he's saying the opposite. He's saying there are times where people are going to disagree with the teachings of Jesus or replace the teachings of Jesus with their own teachings, knowingly or unknowingly. And that is antichrist teachings, but we have to separate what a person is saying from how we relate to the person. We can disagree with ideas, but our posture toward people should always be a posture of love and respect. That's what gets muddled in our world today. We're in a culture of name-calling. We disagree with somebody, and rather than disagreeing thoughtfully, we just label people, drop them into categories, and then disrespect a person. And that doesn't communicate the love of God. In fact, not only is John getting this, but Jesus' other disciples grew in this. One example is Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, and he was known for being a hothead. He was incredibly reactionary. But years later, Peter would write a letter to first century Christians on how to relate to people who believed differently and disagreed. And look what Peter says. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Paul, one of Christianity's first great evangelists, is known in history and in the Bible for being a very hardcore, strong, solid in his beliefs person. And when he's advising first century Christians on how to interact with people who disagree with them, look what he says. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Notice gentleness and respect and love. As we grow in God's love, we become much more clear about the truth and much more gentle with people. Here's another quote that kind of puts it really well. Growing in God's love makes us stronger in truth and wiser about false teaching, but also kinder and more respectful with people who see things differently. That's powerful. You know who said that? I said that. I just said that right just now. Now, I will say that maybe the standard that we need is the standard Jesus set up. When we're talking about how to interact with people that we have problems with, Jesus put it this way. He said, the standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged, right? So I remember, this was probably a few months ago, I was driving my car, I didn't fill up the gas. It was down to fumes. I was driving on fumes. And I pulled into the gas station I always go to. I get out. I start filling it up. 25 cents into filling it up, it just stops. And this lady comes out, and she goes, I'm so sorry, but our tanks are out of gas. I got in the car, and I was like, lady, you should have filled up your tanks before they were going down on fumes. And my car was like, now you know what I think. You know? I'm judging here for the same thing I've done. So there's something about making sure that we're interact. We can disagree on ideas. But Jesus wants us interested in people, which means we always need to be leading with love and gentleness and respect. Not the humiliating gotcha moments that we get people into. Not the manipulative kind of one-upsmanship that we do. Love and gentleness and respect. That's one of the marks that you're growing in God's love. Here's another mark that you're growing in God's love. You embrace love more than fear. Not only do we live in a culture of name-calling, we live in a culture of catastrophizing fear. If you disagree with this person and this person's beliefs progress, it will be the end of civilization as we know it. The entire world will collapse if you allow this person to proceed with their kind of thinking. And then your algorithms on social media just feed that and all that neurosis. There's something that happens as we embrace God's love. It builds a kind of healthy optimism and confidence. Here's what John says. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Whenever you see that in the New Testament in particular, it usually means, it's better translated the word mature. Love grows more mature in us. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. As we're living like Jesus, as we're embracing God's love, it builds a confidence in us, a hopefulness and an optimism. Now, what if we're not living like Jesus? If we're not living like Jesus, what does that do? As I remember when I first became a follower of Jesus, and I had a very, still do, have kind of like a very tender, sensitive heart to failure and sin and mistakes and things like that. I remember going to my pastor and I said, hey, if I keep making mistakes, if I keep sinning, that word means doing anything that separates you from a personal connection with God or who God wants you to be. If I sin, will I lose God's forgiveness? Will I lose my salvation? Anybody ever, like, if I keep doing this, will I lose my salvation? I don't know if any of you can relate to that kind of question. And he said, well, first of all, you're a child of God and God never abandons his children. He said, so you won't lose your salvation, but you may lose your confidence. And I thought that was very, very good. There's something about living our lives, embracing the love of God that gives us a maturing of confidence and kind of hopefulness and keeps us pointed in the right direction. He goes on to say this, such love has no fear because perfect or mature love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we've not experienced that maturing love. The more we're experiencing maturing love, it's more of an antidote to those anxious and fearful parts of us. See, sometimes we attack fear with fear. It's like, oh, I'm afraid, but if I'm afraid, something bad's gonna happen to me. No, that's not the way to address it. Now you're attacking fear with fear. And this section of what John wrote here really helped my wife and I years ago because we realized, I think it was a little late for us, honestly, but we realized a lot of our parenting was fear-based parenting. If I don't raise my kids this way, they're going to do this, they're gonna end up like that, it's going to affect their lives, and it will be my fault. That fear of punishment. God's going to judge me for how I am raising my kids, so I better do it right. That's fear-based parenting. Love, so what we started to say, what would it be like to be motivated by Jesus's love? What would it be like to say, I am going to do the best I can to love my children well the way that God loves me? Which is this unique relationship between acceptance and personal growth. That leads to the third thing that John says here about a mark of love. A mark of God's love in your life is that you face your personal struggles head on. Not only do we live in a culture of name-calling, and we live in a culture of fear, but at the moment, we live in a culture of acceptance that borders on learned helplessness. What I mean by that is there's this sense in which we and others say, accept me, this is just who I am. And I can't change. This is how I was raised. I have been formed into this kind of, this is just my personality. This is just who I am. And that idea can cause us to be kind of paralyzed and encourages others to kind of remain stationary in who they are. John is saying, as we embrace the love of God into our lives, God accepts us as we are and then begins pointing out those growth areas. Here's the way I want you to grow. Here's, I love you where you're at. Now you have the ability to mature in this area. Or here's something you haven't dealt with, and that's okay, and now I'm gonna want you to deal with that area. And that's really rooted in what it means to be a child of God, that we don't stay stationary in who we are. To identify as a child of God and to live in God's love means you are a lifelong learner, and you are constantly maturing and growing and having some of your own spiritual stretch marks in your life. Look what John says. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely and the evil one cannot touch them. What's he saying here? First, he's saying that God's children don't make a practice of sinning. What does he mean by that? He means that if you're living as a child of God, there's an awareness of those areas that don't line up with God, and you're working on those areas. It doesn't mean that everything gets fixed real quick. It doesn't mean that you might even have some habitual struggles in your life, habitual temptations. Each one of us kind of has, I think, a go-to struggle with sin or a personal challenge that we're having to work on. It doesn't mean we don't have that. It means we just don't give into it like we would if God wasn't in our lives. Or as one comedian says, maybe I have some flare-ups in traffic every once in a while, but it's not like a regular thing that I'm doing. So if you are in a place in life where you are struggling with something, maybe habitually, and you're like, I don't want to struggle with this. This is the thing I'm working on. If you're saying, I don't want to struggle with this and I'm working on it, that's probably an indication that you're embracing God's love in your life. Because that's what a child of God says. If you're like, nope, this is who I am. I can't do anything about it. I would question whether or not you're really embracing God's love, because God's love moves you forward. Not only does it help us embrace growth as a lifestyle, but it also, being a child of God, doesn't keep us overly focused on the devil all the time. That's what he says right here. God's Son, Jesus, holds us securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. That's a really interesting statement. Some of you have grown up in religious homes, or you have been exposed to a lot of content where the devil and Satan and demons and spiritual warfare is like a primary topic and a primary motivator for you. Now, I believe in what Jesus taught about demons and Satan and hell and spiritual warfare, and there's a lot in the Bible about it. I believe all of that stuff. But for some of you, you were raised in a home where on a scale of 1 to 10, it's at an 11. Like, that's your main thing that you think about a lot. And John's words are really refreshing here. Is the evil one a reality? Is Satan, is hell, is the devil, is the demonic realm a reality? Yeah. But Jesus holds us securely, and the evil one can't touch us. Now, if you feel like you have something going on in your life that you've sorted it through and you said, I just really feel like I'm under spiritual attack. I feel like the enemy is after me. I feel like I'm part of some warfare, some type of existential spiritual warfare from outside of yourself. If you're like, I think that's going on with me, I want to encourage you to get some wise help for that. Maybe there's a wise Christian friend you can talk to, a very good Christian therapist who understands those dynamics. We also have a great prayer team that meets after our service right over here by the cross, here at Manhattan Beach and at our Torrance campus. And these are people that can listen and pray for you and help identify those things. If that's you, deal with that personal struggle. Lean into that. Get the help you need. I will say, for me, I have found that 90% of my spiritual problems do not originate outside of myself. 90% of my spiritual problems are me dealing with my own stuff that I'm very aware of, and through Jesus, I'm empowered to actually make some changes. And so I would say if you're sensing, hey, some growth is needed, it's really saying, God, look at my heart. What's happening inside of me? And John, so wonderfully, we've gone through this whole letter, and hopefully you've had a chance to read this letter on your own in a Bible where you can get a sense of all he's talking about. If you did, you'll notice he ends the letter with one sentence that is so powerful. Here it is. He says, dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. That's where he lands the plane. That's where he finishes. And I would say this is a very lengthy sentence. In the original Greek language he wrote this in, the sentence is shorter. It says this, keep away from idols. Because that's what an idol is. An idol is a something that is in place of God. It's an anti-Christ. It's a replacement for God or Jesus. Now, some of you grew up in traditions where maybe there were actual physical idols in your home, physical statues that got the focus of your religious attention. Some of you might have grown up with that. The word idols can actually mean anything that is between us and our relationship with God. It can be your job. It can be your car. It can be people's opinions of you. It can be your family. Some of you love your family more than you love God. It can be any of those things. Think about your life. Is there anything in between? I learned something years ago that I really like. God, speaking of baseball, God is supposed to be your MVP. You get meaning, value, and purpose from God. That's where you're supposed to get your meaning, value, and purpose from. If you get your meaning, value, and purpose from anything else, it is likely an idol. And it is good to stop, revisit that, and just say, where is God in relationship to that thing, or that person, or that idea, or that political party? So here's an action step. Out of all these things, prayerfully create your plan for continued growth in God's love and share it with a friend. Prayerfully create your, what is your plan? If you, maybe you disagree with people, but you disagree disagreeably. You disagree with ideas and you're mean. And you're not humble. And you're not kind. And you're not gentle. What would it mean to grow? What steps would you have to take to disagree more thoughtfully? We'll talk about this a little bit next week in our next series, but even there's some of us, when we disagree, we're not very curious. We don't really understand the other person's position. We think we do. Maybe your spiritual life is dictated by a lot of fear. What would it be like to create a plan to slowly start replacing that fear with God's love? How could you do that? What steps could you take daily to figure that out? And how can you do that? What would be some practical steps? And then if there's a specific struggle in your life, create a plan. I'm going to work on this for the next 6 months. And I say this, share it with a friend. That's the other thing too. This is really important. Because some of us have created plans for spiritual growth, and then we never told anybody, and we were never held accountable. No one ever said, how's that going? And that's why we didn't tell people, because we don't want to be held accountable for it. We don't want somebody to ask. But that's the key to growth, is the supportive community of other people. Hey, I know you're working on that thing. How is it going? If you don't have a supportive community around you of people asking you about how you're doing and growing, you're probably not growing. Here's what we talked about today. We can show the marks of growth of God's love in our lives. Disagree more thoughtfully. Embrace love more than fear, and face your personal struggles head on. As we do these things, we begin maturing and we keep moving to being the person that Jesus invites us to be and envisions us to be, that new person. That's going to lead right into a new series that we're starting next week called You 2.0, where we're saying, okay, what is God calling me? And in this series, we're going to do this for 3 weeks leading up to Thanksgiving. We're actually going to talk about some character qualities that you don't normally hear about that much at church. It'll be really interesting. It's like, oh, I don't know if I've ever heard anything about that. But they're right. They're baked into Scripture all the way along. We're going to be talking about how when we lean into those, it helps us to continue to mature in our faith. So let's finish our service here. Would you stand up? I'm going to close us in prayer. If you're new with us, you'd like to know more about the church, we've got a great connections area outside. If there's something going on in your life, you'd like some prayer, we have our prayer teams available. Let me pray for us, and thanks again if you're here with us for the first time. Thanks for being here. Gracious God, thank you so much for your love and grace in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and thank you for the change that can happen in us when we say yes to your love. God, for some of us, being loved is one of the hardest things in our lives. We just struggle with that idea. Help us. And for some of us, loving other people is really hard. Help us with that too. Thank you, because we know as we do both of those things, we're going to be more like you, Jesus. Bless us as we go out this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. See you next week.